Okay. A caller has called in and specifically wants to hear your opinions, Mr. Chastain.
On the,
the small boat harbor.
And
the comments that Mr. Robinson has made.
Right. Well, like I've said at the various meetings that we have had, which we've had a number of them, I support the Carly Moses Boat Harbor project, and I support the different options that are there. You look at the SeaFloat option, which is extending SeaFloat quite a distance to accommodate a number of larger vessels. That's going to bring in $147,000 a year into the port's fund, which is going to offset the deficit amount. You also look at just to back up a little bit, the Carly Moses Boat Harbor is a boat harbor based off the needs of the community now and for the future. It accommodates the smaller boats, such as the 32-footers, which I'll go into a little bit more. It accommodates the 60-footers, which are it's going to be your longliners and so on, the semi-local fleet. And it accommodates the larger boats, like the trawlers and so on. As reference to the buyback boats or the rationalized boats, yeah, it's sad they're gone, but this boat harbor is based off of what we need now and what we're probably going to need in the future, the best we can predict it. It's not based off those rationalized boats, off the boats that are part of the buyback program. As the crab stocks go up, we're going to see more boats here. The boats are going to be here longer. As the pollock quota goes up, which it will, you're going to see the pollock boats spending more time here and more money here. And if you look at the Carly Moses Boat Harbor globally, it's going to bring those intangible benefits to our community. It's going to bring the benefit of people coming here, people moving their families here, because we have the facilities to do it and to support the fleet. You're going to see more people eating at Dutch Harbor Fast Food, eating at Amelia's, shopping at the store, because they're going to be able to bring their boats here and tie them up instead of taking them back to Homer or Kodiak or wherever else they're going to go. The idea, one of the options, is to put 120 volts power pedestals down the A and B floats of the Carly Moses Boat Harbor. What that's going to effectively do is give those 32-footers a spot to tie up, plug into power, and stay. And those are the people that live in our community. Those are the people that are going to be here year in, year out. One of the other options is to reinforce the end of A float so you can fit a larger boats here. So you can fit larger boats at the end of A float, which increases the moorage space. Now, with the larger boats, you have more money coming in, and their ability to pay is much greater as well. All in all, the different options, I believe there was 5 different options that was presented to us at the last council meeting. Those are the options that came from the right around 100 or so vessels and vessel owners and captains that said, hey, this is what we need to make this to use this harbor. This is what's going to make this harbor appealing for us. As it relates to the Acutan Harbor, it's apples and oranges. I mean, Acutan, one, they're going to need a hovercraft to get to their harbor and to their airport, or at least to get to their airport. The harbor, I believe they spent 30-some million to dredge the harbor and put in a breakwater, but they, from what I understand, they don't have a funding source for the actual harbor itself. So that's not really there right now and in the future. I mean, they're going to have to look at funding. I mean, if we're looking at 20-some million potentially to fund our harbor, I'm sure theirs is probably going to be pretty comparable, if not more, because logistically getting the stuff out there is going to be a little more difficult. Unalaska has the infrastructure. The reason Unalaska's done so well as a community throughout the decades is because we are strategically located. So I don't see the Acutan Harbor really affecting us much at all. That's being built effectively for the Trident fleet, who ties up some boats in Dutch Harbor and may send them over there once that harbor's done in, 15, 20 years potentially? So I see this harbor as just being a simple benefit. As for funding the harbor, that's something we're going to look at this upcoming meeting, I believe on April 3rd, is what source of funding are we going to use? Are we going to do it all out of the general fund and then pay that back by the 1% sales tax fund? Are we going to bond to the tune of $10 million? You know, it's also been brought up to raise the mill rate, which goes back to the question earlier, what are we going to do to help promote housing here? By raising the mill rate, well, one, the previous council before me decreased the mill rate by 1%. And two, the only people that have brought up raising the mill rate is Councilman Robinson and Councilman Peck. None of the other council members have brought up the idea of raising the mill rate to fund the harbor. So I personally don't see that as being a real viable option. I think I've covered what I have so far.
Okay. Yeah, the call that came in most recently was when you had to cut aspects of the small boat harbor. Why did you choose to cut only the options supported by the community during the recent community meetings? I feel like we've covered that earlier, unless any of you have.
I'd like to speak a little bit to that. my point, I guess, what I'd like to make is if this was planned around the vessels that were here, we wouldn't have these add-ons. That would have already been in the equation. I think maybe we had got a little bit turned around before we kicked this RFP out. We should have gone out and got that information for the drive down float and the expanded sea float to figure out what exactly are we building here. But I guess I'm somewhat the fault for that, for not asking the question ahead of time before the RFP went out. But I did ask the question, why are we building this around vessels that no longer exist in the fleet? That puzzled me.
Why do you feel that it was a bad idea to get community input when they were modifying the design and making sure that it fit the community after they already had a base bid as opposed to before? Why does that make a major difference to you?
Because if, like I said, if we would have got the information from the community prior to as to what the community wanted, then this would have been designed and built exactly without any add-ons having to happen, because they would have been taken into account for.
But it wouldn't have necessarily changed the price if they were already included. Just our expectations.
It probably would have. It would have changed the price, because they configure the A, B, and the C floats just a little bit different, or the A and B float just a little bit different to accommodate the C float.
Okay. We have another caller, again, asking about the small boat harbor. This one wants to leave a boat at the new small boat harbor, but the caller is concerned about security because the port's office is not moving to the new location. Can you guys comment on this? And why don't we start with Mr. Chastain?
Right, and that's something where, and that's a good question. We're in the process of figuring out what's going to happen with the port's office. Like with this entire boat harbor, there's been a considerable amount of discussion about what's going to happen. Is it going to stay over at the City Dock area in the Latitude 54 building, or is it going to move over to the Carly Moses area in the uplands? I support moving the small boat harbor office to the new facility. I see the new facility as being essentially a marine center, a center of marine commerce for the trawlers, for the smaller fleet, and such a diverse fleet. As it relates to security, I think having a presence down there is going to be really quite important. I mean, the harbor officers, they're going to still maintain their roving patrols. They're going to still patrol City Dock, Spit Dock, Light Cargo Dock, the current small boat harbor, in addition to the Carly Moses Harbor. We're talking about having bathrooms there with shower facilities, which are going to need attention as well. They're going to have different tools to augment their roving patrols, such as AIS, which is the... Oh, gosh, I can't remember what it stands for, but it tracks the vessels through a tracking system. They're going to use all the resources available to them to do what they do. And ultimately, what we're talking about is moving the administrative staff from a building that we rent to a building that we own.
Okay. So that's all still up for discussion.
Absolutely.
A firm decision has not yet been made.
That's correct.
I'd have to kindly disagree with that, because I heard four resounding no's on the council that they didn't want to move the port's harbor office at this point. And I trust our harbor department saying that they can patrol that effectively. And I believe they can. And I don't think security is going to be a problem any more than it is on any other facility that you tie up in Alaska. I don't think it's going to be attracting a lot of people. The Carly Moses Boat Harbor is just enough out of the way that you're not going to have the general public roving through it as you would on the Bobby Storrs Harbor, where you have processors and fishermen that are very close to it and walking right by it and have access, ready access to it, and we have a bar just right up the road from it. We're not going to have that at the Carly Moses Boat Harbor. We're going to have at that facility is going to be for the off season primarily, when people just tie up and leave their boats because there isn't a way to get on the A and the B floats or the C floats currently for vessels to do any amount of work. And a lot of the work that required on vessels is fairly heavy work. So that's going to have to take place at other facilities. So I don't see security as being a problem there.
Okay. We are running out of time, but we have a couple more questions that were submitted beforehand that I really want to get to. One is, the city has a long list of large capital projects ongoing and scheduled for the future. How does each council member determine which projects take priority? Either of you.
For me, I mean, it's my decisions are based on what's going to happen here 150 years from now. Not one while I'm living, but my children's grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And that has always been a concern of mine. And because if the economy crashes here, guess what? My family's probably going to be here. But I can't say that truthfully for a lot of people that do live here. If it crashes, I've seen it crash. And I've seen a lot of people that you think would never go away, go away. When King Crab crashed, it devastated his community. I don't think a Pollock crash would do quite the same, but it would have a real drastic effect on our pocketbook.
Okay.
I think Councilman Robinson brings up some interesting facts, and in a sense, I do agree with him, in at least the fact that we need to look forward to the future. We need to focus on projects that are going to support our revenue and support our infrastructure, like the Carly Moses Boat Harbor, which is going to generate revenue not only for the city, it's going to generate revenue for the entire community because the people that use that harbor will also use the different support facilities in our community. Gosh, there was somewhere else I was going to go with this as well. As for the Pollock crash and the Crab crash and so on, yeah, I was here for that as well. Obviously, I function in our community a little bit different than Mr. Robinson did at the time. But where we are right now is based off of what happened in the past. I think it's pretty commonly understood, the Pollock and the Crab industry are very cyclical industries. We're looking at an increase in the Pollock quota in the future. So to cry that the sky is falling, not that I'm saying that's what's happening, I think is very, very premature here. So that's my answer. Thank you.
Okay. Another caller would like to know about the Juneau trip that both of you guys are on, I understand. How many council members are going to Juneau? Why so many? And what will you be doing there?
It's a legislative reception, and I was on the council the first time that the city of Unalaska had held a legislative reception, and it's a time that the city of Unalaska sponsors this reception, and we get some one-on-one time with individual legislators, and I think it's highly productive. That's how we got our water system here, and with that water system, that's why we have the processing facilities that we have here. Granted, I think we need to get a little bit more from help from the state, but this is an opportunity that we get that's once a year during the legislative session to be able to have some really good one-on-one time with with various legislators, not only ours but other legislators in the state. We get to bend their ear in our direction.
And how many of you guys will be attending this trip?
There will be three of us, three council members and the manager. I think the mayor also.
Okay, so the mayor, three council members, and the manager. Why is it necessary for five of you to go?
We have the opportunity to bend the ears of legislators. Now, we don't all sit down with each one individually. We're going to be spread out through that room talking to other legislators about our issues and why they're so important, not only to the city but to the state.
Right, and Councilman Robinson brings up some very good points there, and I agree with him in that aspect. Right now, as of earlier today, it looks like we're going to be meeting with right around 10 different legislators, asking them for funding for projects such as the powerhouse to a tune of $5 million, the Ballyhoo Road improvement for about $5 million, and the water treatment plant for potable water for about $2 million. This is a pretty considerable amount of money. And what it does by sending the elected officials, the few elected officials that we're sending to Juneau, is it puts a face to our community. They can look, instead of just seeing Unalaska, the number one fishing port in the country, home of the deadliest catch, they see a face. And the cross-section of council members that are going represents a pretty diverse group amongst our community. So I think that's a huge benefit. We're also meeting with the folks from TWIC, the security folks that mandate the dock security or that implement the TWIC program out here. And we're trying to figure out what's going on with that program and hopefully gets them to send somebody out here to open up an office. That way, when you apply for your TWIC card, you don't have to fly to Anchorage, apply for it, fly back here, and then fly back to Anchorage to actually pick up the card. You can do it all here in Unalaska. We're also meeting with the folks from the Alaska Marine Exchange, which will be really quite interesting. They've been working pretty closely with the Aleutian Island Risk Assessment Team and mitigating future environmental disasters here, such as the Selendang AU or the Kiroshima or the Swallow back in the early 90s or late 80s. So it's going to be a really, really productive meeting. And we're going to be meeting with Governor Parnell as well while we tour the Alaska Marine Exchange. So it's going to be a really positive thing for our community. And we stand the potential to help out our community quite a bit through the different funding sources and so on.
I don't, as a council member, generally don't go on very many trips. And this is one I deem as it's important to the community that we have a presence there.
And who's the third council member who will be going?
Catherine McGlashan.
Okay. Last question, simple one. Will either of you be running for mayor this fall?
No.
Absolutely not. Why give up a vote to wear a hat?
All right.
I don't see the point.
I would like to thank both of you guys for coming on the show this afternoon. It's definitely been a productive conversation. I would also like to thank every single person who called in or emailed in questions. It's great to have more community participation. If you want to know more about what's going on with City Council, in addition to watching the reruns of the meetings here on Channel 8, you can also attend all of the upcoming council meetings. When's the next meeting?
I believe it's going to be April 3rd. It's a Saturday at 10 in the morning. We'll be addressing the issues. It's going to be a meeting and a work session, and we'll be addressing the issues around the Carly Moses Boat Harbor, the anodes replacement on City Dock, and I believe there may be one other aspect to that meeting.
Okay, so a special meeting on April 3rd after you guys get back from Juneau?
I believe it's April 3rd. It's going to be on a Saturday at 10 in the morning, yeah.
All right. So
we hope the community attends that one. It's important to the community.
And will the entire council be present?
In theory, yeah.
Barring illness and weather.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. Thank you again for both being here. Thank you to all of our callers and listeners.